بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإن يمسسك الله بضر فلا كاشف له إلا هو وإن يردك بخير فلا راد لفضله يصيب به من يشاء من عباده وهو الغفور الرحيم. If Allah Ta'ala wishes to inflict any harm, nobody can turn it away. And if He wishes to grant any good, then nobody can avert that as well. Hazrat Muawiyah radiyallahu had asked one of his governors, Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiyallahu anhu, explain me a hadith that you heard directly from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He replied that after the Faras namaz, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite the fourth kalima, and then he would recite Allahumma la mani'a lima a'tayt wa la mu'tiya lima mana'at wa la yanfa'u dhal jadd minka al-jadd. Fourth kalima, we're quite familiar with the wordings. The message, we first declared the oneness of Allah Ta'ala, la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la. We declare this oneness of Allah Ta'ala. And the more you declare this, then the more it settles in the heart. Anything for that matter, keep talking and you keep listening, then what you talk and what you hear settles in the heart. I was just explaining to someone that 30 years ago we won't hear about stories about jinnat, jadu, and these things. It was very, very unfamiliar. People didn't hear about it. But just 30 years, maybe 30 or 35 years, and the thing just shot up. So, why was it that just around this time, 35 years or so, and it just took off from that time? Before this, you won't hear of it. Just 35, around there, right? So you look at it, and Allah Ta'ala has created different faculties in the mind. One faculty is to retain. So you see someone's faculty of retaining is very strong. If he hears it once or twice, his memory will just absorb it straight. Then there is another faculty in the mind which we call wahima, imagination. If you get retention, then you get imagination. Retaining, someone's mind is so good that he can just retain. In the Sharah of Muslim Sharif, there is one famous alim. He says that I learned something and I learned it so quickly that nobody can learn it as quick as I learned. My uncle used to always nag me that you're not a hafiz. Nagged until it got to me. In those days, the elder had some position. People respected. They tried to follow. They took him seriously. Whether it was an uncle, whether it was a father, whether it was an elder in the family, but they took to him very seriously. So now my uncle is just giving me. And now his respect requires that I don't back chat. So what I did was, I locked myself in a room And I said to myself, until you haven't done this Quran Sharif hifz, you're not coming out of the room. So 3 days flat, and I memorized the entire Quran Sharif. 3 days. A lot of times, youngsters, middle aged also, they complain, you know, ma'mulat are not getting completed. What a ma'mulat with 3 siparas, 4 siparas, 5 siparas in the day, but it's not just getting completed. We've got a ma'mulat not to look at wrong things and not to speak about wrong things or not to listen to wrong things. We can't just get to grips. So I say it's not that difficult as you make it to be. The easy thing is you make a promise to yourself that if you don't complete the ma'mulat, you're going to eat. See what happened? Everything will start firing. See, you just connect it to the food line. You connect it to the food line, everything works out. But you just leave it casual, you don't take it serious, then everything will be casual in your life, you won't have a direction in your life. So you have to be serious. See, the nafs needs to be disciplined. And if it's disciplined, then there is some direction and progress. So therefore they say, an-nafsu kat-tifl. If you want to understand what is the nafs all about, then understand the temperament of a child. What the child wants? He wants freedom. Back to school, back to madrasa. So he doesn't want to be restricted. He wants the freedom. He doesn't want to be bonded here, tied there, chained there, and restricted. He doesn't want that. He wants freedom. So exactly that's the nature, the temperament of nafs. It wants its freedom, expression, do, eat, enjoy, jump, keep talking, adventure all the time. So like the child wants that, then the nafs wants that also. Wants comfort, enjoyment, excitement, entertainment. Carry on. Don't you see? Sometimes children, and nowadays many times elders also, they're watching videos because it's so easily accessible. They can watch from Isha until midnight, until past midnight, they can do it. You know, one youngster was speaking to me about his wife. He says, you know what, I'm 3 years in the marriage, but my wife, you know, it was now a long time before this videos could come up. So she can read a novel 800 pages in a single night. So I said, hey, I envy her, you know. If I had that ability, I would look kitab so much. She can check 800 pages, you know. I don't have that capacity to do so much of kitabs. I'll do a little bit, and then I know I'm aged now, so if I want to overuse my eyes, then I may just damage something. So I can use it, but I have to use it with moderation. I can't overuse it. And yeah, but she's talking about 800 pages in one night. So this is nafs. An-nafsu kat-tifl. It just wants. So the right way to correct the nafs is to restrict it or to subject it. Once you subjected it, then it comes right. So you subject it to its demands. Demands is wants to eat, enjoy, adventures, you know. Until you haven't done this, then you can't enjoy the food. And you see, 2 days, you say, no, it's too much now. Let me just me a Quran Sharif. Let me not look at the wrong things, otherwise I have to starve the diet. I won't be able to eat. So when you subject yourself, then you come online. The child is the same. Until you don't subject him, father doesn't tell him, you're going, whether you like it or not. Right? In our days, it was such, the father just had to open his eyes. Going. Yeah, I'm going. You can't see otherwise. Now, to patawa the person and pamper the person, still he won't go. Right? Because parents are no more parents now. Parents become, see, their roles have changed. The father has become the son, and the son became the father. The wife became the husband, and the husband became the wife. So the roles have been swapped. So the wife just had to say something and you got it. She knows what cards to play and she knows which buttons to press. If he just says something, I will show him, I'll fix him up. I'll just turn away, I won't talk to him nicely. I will just put up my face. So that's too much for you. See? So nafs has to be, at some point or the other, you have to subject it. Keep subjecting. After some time, you will have a direction in life. Otherwise, you're like a rudderless boat. Freelancing, here, running side, that side, adventuring. You can adventure other things, alright, business opportunities, you can adventure, but deen, you can't adventure. Your nafs, you can't play around with it. Because if you're adventuring, freelancing, what will it cost you to say, alright, I adventured some things in Islam, let me adventure Christianity. Then when I've done all my research, then I'll come back to Islam. In the process, you died. What's going to happen? So you can't be freelancing, and you can't be adventuring, you can't be speculating. You can't be speculating. So you have to keep the control, like you understand very well. Your child needs to be schooled, and he has to be controlled. He can't tell you today, comes and gets up in the morning, I'm not going to school. He can't tell you. I say, no. In school, I'm a Salafi. I can do what I want. Can he say that? I can just take from here, this school year, go to Spingo Hill School, or go to Montessori, or go to Orient School, or go and learn there. Is that acceptable? No. You just do as I say. You under me, so you listen to me. Father feels that the child is too naive. He cannot understand things in perspective. So he needs to take the cue from me. He can't do it himself. So exactly the same in deen. Until you're not fully matured, you settle properly, established in deen, you just listen to someone. He's saying, do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this. Then you have to listen. And then you see, at the end you see something coming out. You see, you bring up a child, right? You want to see a certain color in the child. And you feel now, no, mashallah, my child is doing good. For example, now he's got values. So the child has come to the house. So he greets. Say, for example, he came. After a long day, he came home. Say, he went to school at 7 o'clock and he came back at about 3 o'clock. So he comes, if he sees his mother around, then he goes and greets her, right? I'm back from school, right? So he greets her. Now, when he's learned the right type of values, when there's the right type of parental supervision on the child, then he sees the mother doing some work. Why can I help you? Right? She's, for example, she's wanting to get the onions out of the sack, bring it to the table. So, why can I help? I'll bring it for you. So, how does the mother feel? Mother feels nice. Right? Let's see this child. He's got some values. But the child just darts in, doesn't make salam, just comes in, darts out. Hey, he's a freelancer. He is just a wild beast. He just comes in, does his thing, and he darts in and he darts out. So can you see the values in the child? This child and that child. Now this child, he seems like he's good now. He's just doing his own thing. He's got a mind of his own. He just darts in and he darts out. But do you attach a value to the child? You see, no, he's disciplined, you know. No discipline. He's a child, well, he's doing good in school, but talk of values, he doesn't have the value. He doesn't know who's his mother, he doesn't know who's his father. Right. So when he's got that parental supervision now, he's doing things in a way that is so delightful, you feel so nice of the child. MashaAllah, I can see that this child will have a good future. See, with what respect he talks to his mother, he comes to me, how respectful he is. If he has to go with his friends, the friends need to go out for an outing or something, first he'll ask me, he'll ask my mother, his mother, Ma, I need to go. Is it right I go? He'll ask his father, should I go? And he'll subject himself. And then you see the child is going well. If the mother says no, he's not going, then he's not going. The child may not see the good of it straight away. He'll see the thing later on in life. The father said, don't go. and he didn't go. And I just can remember two incidents now straight as I'm discussing this. So one is of a senior lecturer, right? He just gave up his lecturing now. So he explained his own story. He says around late 70s, he graduated everything and he started off. So he must have been young, 30 some odd years, he must have been less than that, and he started lecturing. Very young and he started lecturing. And then now we all young, 29, 30, and we got money. So we thought of going for a holiday, me and my other friends, all colleagues, all in the same university, we thought of going for a fishing trip, Port St. John, right? I tell many times, you can't say St. John, because John can't be a Buzruk. Can he? Can't be a Buzruk. A Buzruk is called a saint, isn't it? Kasim was a teacher, isn't it? Kasim bhai? What is a saint? It's a Buzruk, right? Kafir can be a Buzruk. Can't be a Buzruk. So you look for some other name for him now. So anyway, so they hired a boat, excited, going with the friends, 7-8 of them, all prepared. His mistake is, he prepared, then he informed his mother, "Ma, we need to go." At the 11th hour, Ma says, "You can't go." I just broke down, crying. At that age now, I'm an independent person, I'm earning, I'm looking after my mother. And she must tell me I mustn't go. But now the respect tells me that I can't tell, I can't backchat, I can't say anything. And you know, so bitter. I went to my room, crying, swearing, doing everything. But mother said, I can't go. So I didn't go. See now, discipline. What it brings is refinement. See a horse, right, if it's wild, they'll give it to you for free. That thing is so wild, you can't do anything with that thing. And when that thing is refined, very refined, you pay about $1 million, 15 million rands. Very refined. Pedigree, refined. It knows all the move, how to gallop, etc. It knows all these things there. And from zero, it can pick up to 15 million, like a Ferrari. From nothing to what it can go to, see. So that's the discipline, the training that you give. That brings about the value. So man also, when you bring the discipline, the respect, then he picks up value, and people want to buy him. Unfortunately, we attach the values to the wrong things. So, for the footballer, we can sell him for $100 million. Do you know that? $100 million for one footballer. So wrong things, right? And how long he'll last? He'll last, if he's 22, maximum I think they'll allow him to play for another 15 years. After that, redundant. Now they allow him. For a professional league, they allow him, don't allow him. But they pay so much. They know he'll be redundant just now, but they'll pay so much. But that value you put into the child, he'll remember you now. When you're dead and gone, then to the child remember you. Say, "No, my father, what he taught me. My mother, what she taught me." Right? So, you are dead and gone, but he still thinks of you. "No, I got that one shot from my father. I think I deserved it. Look, for the rest of my life, I think it was really, really, it was the right time and the right size also gave it to me." So this discipline, you see. Now he's telling me now, so my mother said no, so I went to the room, crying. Can't make a noise because that time you can't even backchat, you can't do anything. Anyway, he says, the next day at about 12 o'clock, the news came that the 7 boys that went all went down. Namdi Ma. I will kiss my hand. "Ma, you told me not to go. You know, I would have been nothing just now. You told me not to go. I took the cue from you. Alhamdulillah, see where I am today. I progress now in life, right?" So you see this parental direction. So a lot of things, you don't see it straight away. You see it later on in life. One man now, he's a specialist, right? He must be about 85 or something. So he's telling me his personal story, his own story, telling me. Came here. So he tells me, "You know, I'll tell you one life experience. MashaAllah, I like to, life experience, you're hearing something from someone. So now he's ripe. That age now, it'll be something that is sound, something that I can retain. He says, I was in the fifth year medicine, you know. 1 year to complete now, I'm big now. And coming out with good numbers, coming out like first, second. At that time, they used to go to Salisbury Island. You know, there wasn't that Westville, Salisbury Island. Used to go there. And then I, topping the class, you know, to at that zamana, money was tight. And then to top, to come at that level was difficult. And I was topping the class. And then, it just happened that whilst we are in the medicine now, at just opposite my house, about 1-2 doors away, there was one tennis court that opened out. When it opened out, then I got excited, you know. Youngsters, I'm that age now, 21, 22, they all are playing there, see. We are playing, non-Muslims. There wasn't much of apartheid at that time. Right, so young girls and everybody all mixed up playing. And sometimes it's a duel, you know, boy and a girl playing. And that scene was so captivating. You know, you could see a young girl and dressed up, you know, tennis and all that. And she's jumping, you know, all the strokes she's making. Hey, it was so great. I went for the first day. Then the third day, my father discovered what's going on. When he discovered what's going on the third day, he says, Kalti javanuni male, bhai. From tomorrow you can't go. Hey, now. He made that announcement on the dining table. That time, you know, we're having a supper, all one table. And he's announced to everybody. Now, me, I'm thinking, you know, I topped the class, I'm such an intelligent person, I'm a big man. You know, I understand what is right from wrong. This man here, and he must tell me this thing. See, I'm burning within, I can't tell him anything because that's zamana. We just keep quiet. Old man said it, you just do what as he say. All right, now I'm biting my tongue, I can't say anything, you know, how I'm burning at that time, frustrating at that time. But I just kept quiet. All right, I couldn't go. There was orders now given by the father, I had to just... So anyway, the other youngsters, Muslim, non-Muslims, all, they playing around. It took me about 15 years, or 10 or 12 years to understand the wisdom and the philosophy of my father's advice. Because now I saw this person got married, got caught up with one white, I don't know with one colored, I don't know with one Madraji, all mixed up. And nearly everyone's child is a delinquent. Now I see after 20 years, you know, 10 years I saw they were all mixed up, 20 years of everyone's child is a delinquent here. If they're not on drugs, they're on drinks, they're not worried about namaz. Everyone is off. Every one of them is off. Now, me, for that moment, I had to bite my tongue. I had to bite the bullet, you know. Just take it off. It was too bitter for me. It was too difficult. But now, after 20 years in my life, then I understood the goodness of what my father was saying. But now, alhamdulillah, he says to me, that alhamdulillah, all my children, 5 children I've got, all of them are good. Some of them are professionals, but all of them are dini, reading namaz, respectable, they respect me, they respect their mother, they're not delinquents in their communities, they are respected, they are loved, they are liked. Right? Now, I compare my children against their children, I see now, after 20 years it panned out. But you see now, this nafs has to be disciplined. It can't be given the free rope, do as you want. And you can't see the consequence. You see, for the moment, you know, you're satisfying yourself, you're giving in. Right. And you feel what you're doing is the good thing, is the right thing. Man is old-fashioned, he doesn't know what he's talking about. But you only begin to realize after 20 years, 30 years in life, you see it. You see the consequences. Now that is deen. Deen says, well, you must just do it. Just do it. What Allah Pak is saying, Nabi Sallam is saying, and your pious elders are instructing you. See, one is Allah Ta'ala, is the Nabi Sallam. Then your pious elders, they're good. You can see their lives. It's not about just money and show and ostentation, all that. It's about something serious in life, getting right value. That's the whole life about. Their life is not about show, entertainment, excitement, it's not about that. Not about now how beautiful an orator I am. No, no, because it's to bring some right good values in your life. Sometimes that what happens to us. We look now whose presentation is best. Right? And then we go with it. Whose presentation is best? Azadi was giving an explanation, you know. He says, people get duped. Presentation is too good, let's go with it. So one person had a troublesome horse. Very, very troublesome. Very stubborn in its ways. You can't just get it going. You say, go front and go backwards. Say, move and stop. Say, stop and move. Hey, you can't, it's getting it. It's a headache. So I tell you, best thing is just get it out of the way. So, in these eastern countries, they have a sale for this livestock, you know. Livestock, all that, they got a sale once a week, twice sometimes. Once a month, they got a sale for livestock. So everybody will come to one central place. He'll bring his livestock, he'll bring donkey, horse, cow, sheep, goats, everybody will bring one central spot. And it's such a big thing now. So they have agents. That agent will advertise for you. He will market the product. But you can't sell it. You don't know how to market that thing. So I gave the thing to one agent. He must market the thing for me and get a good price for me. And now the agent starts talking. You know, this horse of mine, this horse, this thing, once it gallops, it talks, it challenges the clouds. You know? It moves like the speed of the wind. You know? It's so disciplined and whatever, whatever. Now, the owner said, hey, if it's so good, let me take it back. You see this, how you get fooled. You get fooled, you get tricked. Someone will just give one praise, one good word. You don't realize that you have that stupidity, the wrong, the naivety, the limitations in you. You saw it, and you saw the failures in your life. You've seen everything. But now, one, two persons must just praise you, or you must see yourself to be good. Your presentation must be good. So you're going with that, not realizing that hey, you're causing a problem for yourself. So you must see the colors in the person, see himself, see his values, right? See what his direction is before you take from the person. Now you just see the presentation is good. It's like the same person, the presentation of the agent was too beautiful. But you see the problem that he created. See? So, we are talking about Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiallahu anhu, this we started off. And I spoke about the child, the discipline, right? Now the child is doing these things. So, the child is disciplined. Now, as he's growing up, and the boys got a get-together. So he'll first ask his ma, as far as the boys are going for a get-together, having a party, can I go? So he'll first ask. He won't just go like that. And he will also say, alright, you know, expected time of return, this is expected time. These are my friends. So the father got a time, the mother got a time to think, alright, these are his friends, I know them. And inshallah, they won't be up to mischief. And they're coming back in a good time. Right? But now you see this child, he's got a future. Because the father knows him, and he's respecting the father, he's respecting his mother, right? Looking at all this. Right? So, in the making of the child, you're creating a sense of responsibility. The child is responsible. So tomorrow when the child becomes a man, he's married, right? He won't just abandon his wife, so not going. He may not see the need to even inform her, just going. Now, imagine she got married, girl is 18, 19 years of age, and he just got married to her. And he just told her, there's a rugby match in Cape Town, flying over. Now the wife is puzzled now, where the man is gone. After some time, a day or so, they're phoning here, they're phoning everywhere. Eventually they get to know that he's in Cape Town. What happens to her mind? For the day, what happens? Especially if they're living in a flat or in a place now, you know, there's not many homes. She's all alone and she's young, 18, 19. What happens to her? You as the father of the girl, what you feel? Hey, you're such an irresponsible person. But if the parents had created some sense of responsibility in this child here, then he would have shown that love, that care, consideration, respect. Now, I'm in a marriage, I'm not a single, I'm a double now, I need to assume responsibility. She knows where I am, she knows the expected time of arrival. So, you as the father-in-law, how do you feel? Don't you feel relaxed? You feel calm? You feel, no, I've given my daughter to the right person, he understands. Maybe he's not very well off, but he's got respect, he's got values, he's got some good values in him. So he won't destroy the life, he won't ruin the life. See? So this nafs has to be disciplined. You can't say no, no, no. You know what has happened was we mixed up all the realms. There's different realms. There is a realm for absolute freedom. There is one realm for total absolute freedom. Do as you want. The woman of your choice, the pleasure of your choice, the food of your choice, the place of your choice, everything of your choice. But that's Jannat. Now this place here, if you want of your choice, you're going to cause problems for yourself. Now your mind is telling you, you know, as a youngster, 19, 20, 21 years of age, let's move. 218, 90.